Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston.
Yo, what's up, Jordan?
Oh, you know, just got up a little bit ago, took a little nap, so I was ready and rearing to go for the podcast.
Well, so, I know some of our listeners will appreciate you not yawning, so this is great.
Yes. I still can't promise anything. No, it's good. It's one of those nice little couch naps, right? Yeah. Watching TV and you just doze. Let's get into it. It was in the two tournaments that we're going to talk about, which all of them can't have some kind of weather related. It was a weather related weekend.
Yeah, big storm across the East Coast.
Yeah, and big storms across Utah this last week. I mean, crazy. I don't know how it was down in Utah County.
It was actually fine. I saw the apocalypse in Salt Lake County.
Salt Lake County and Davis County. It was, yeah, like rivers. It was just the other side of you too. I'm surprised you guys didn't get any.
No, it was crazy because
like literally the other side of the
mountain on that from mountain. You. Yeah, point of the mountain. I live on it. Then as I'm driving home from Provo, going north, I look out and I see the biggest black cloud over like Draper and Salt Lake. And it is like bolts of lightning striking across the sky and the mountains and everything.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like less than a second apart. It was just like boom, 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 boom. It was insane.
Yeah,
I thought it was the end.
It was very apocalyptic. We could see that piece in Bountiful. You could see the clouds over Salt Lake and just crazy in it. Yeah, but the day before that, up in Davis County, it got pretty nasty. Wednesday night is when like it started dumping. I was actually out getting my Traeger ready to smoke, and I'm like, it won't be too bad. And then I'm like, oh yeah, it's bad. I had to put up a tent so I could finish the smoking process. But yeah, it was bad. Rivers, streets turned into rivers for a little bit. Parks turned into ponds. mass chaos. And yeah. And then the end of the Wyndham Championship itself turned into, they had a weather delay, and then when they came back, it was saturated for sure.
Yep.
It looked sloppy, and some of that, the play got a little sloppy to go with it. But Lucas Glover gets the win, and then, yeah. Tell me about his putting woes, but he's been playing the longer putter for, has it just been 5 weeks?
Just about. I think the official statement is had four top six finishes in his last five events since he switched.
Yeah, and it's the funny thing is he's playing that putter right now. Ben On is playing that putter.
Yep.
And most notably, Adam Scott is also playing that putter. He's been playing it for a while. So.
Yeah, and hey, guy got it done. He found what he needed. And it just kind of showcased how good of a ball striker he is, but just wasn't a threat on the greens as he maybe could have been since he's able to switch to something that's working for him. So But yeah, statistics wise, he was first in strokes gained approach to the green. He was sixth in strokes gained off the tee, and he was 15th in strokes gained putting. So,
Which isn't
yeah.
bad. And I mean, you look at it and you can tell kind of how sloppy it did get towards the end. Because
Yeah.
I mean, he pars out from like hole number 12, hole number 11. So he makes seven straight pars to finish
Yeah.
and let Russell Henley slowly come back and drop behind him with three straight bogeys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he ends up winning by one or two. So was down by one. I think, yeah, Russell Henley was one group ahead of him, if I'm not mistaken.
Here's
But
a pretty crazy stat. He was first in greens and reg, 65 of 72, meaning that calculated to 90.2% greens and reg.
not bad.
That was not missing a freaking green, what that was. But then his putts per green in regulation was 1.7, which is 10th in the tournament. So when you hit that many greens and you have that low of a stroke average in putting, that's pretty awesome.
And that's Lucas Glover you're talking about, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Wonder where Henley was, because I mean, obviously Henley didn't play too bad besides just not getting it done down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly played well the beginning of the week. Things kind of cooled down later on. He was seventh in putts per green in regulation at one
Seventh. He
point.
was actually strokes gained putting. He was number one
Yeah, he was,
for
but
all of it, Russell Henley. So, and it wasn't necessary that he cooled off at the end. He cooled off at the very end. The
very end, yeah.
last 3 holes, bogeys his last 3 holes to lose by two,
Just kind of where it
which,
matters.
yeah, that makes sense. And then you've got, Billy Horschel, who was leading, going into leading by two, I think.
Oh.
Going into the final round, and he hit some squirrely stuff. Yeah, not good for Billy Horschel in the final round. I mean, keeps it together. Birdies 18, hits a really great shot into 18. Just didn't have like what I watched of it. He just didn't have a lot close in the final
Oh.
round.
To me, like, and I kind of experienced this week, and certainly had an impact on me, but I think it's fatigue with some of these players. Like, you get down to the final stretch, 4 days of golf. Sounds like a blast, but man, it takes a toll.
No, it's nuts, man. I mean, going into it, last time I was talking with my buddy who caddied for me for the Monday qualifier, and when we got done, he's like, man, he's like, I'm beat. He's like, but it's just, he's like, I didn't do anything but carry. I'm like, it's not necessarily the physical.
Oh.
It's when you're playing at a higher level competitive environment, the mental fatigue is where it gets you.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I played four rounds of golf, four 18-hole rounds in 5 days, and dude, I today
When
four took a toll on me. And
the last time you've done
it's been a while.
that?
But I actually played really good golf up until the last nine, and that's when things kind of fell apart. I shot like two under on the front and with no bogeys, just solid golf. And then I ended up shooting, what did I shoot? Yeah, 40, four over off
Like,
the back. It just turned into
you're just like
a
you're just like
huge
you're like I just got nothing left in
yeah.
the tank.
I was like, carry me in. So,
We've all been there.
yep.
A guy that didn't get tired though. The guy that didn't get tired. They did only play 3 rounds, but Mr. Bryson DeChambeau.
Heyo.
Ayo. Talking about finishing strong.
That was hot. I don't
Hot.
care
You're
who you are
throwing.
or what side you sit on. That was a sight to behold.
Yeah. Well, just like watching it, and it's not like he had the one, like I said, because I watched just kind of the end of it because it was on early enough, but dude was basically just throwing darts.
Yeah, like
I
he
would
was.
like to see, because I don't think they do a great job of yet of keeping stats where you can actually like
He
see
might have been
him.
one grain. Like, it was just so good. Everything he did, he was
Just like,
draining all the putts that you'd expect him to, and then he was making a couple that you didn't expect him to make. And so Bryson shoots 58 at Greenbrier and just runs away with the tournament. Like, 58. It was a par 70 and just goes low, 12 under. It
yeah,
was phenomenal. I would
with a
recommend,
bogey. I
yeah,
mean,
with Bogey.
like how, like that right there is nuts,
Yeah.
right?
I watched the whole thing. If you get a chance, go to YouTube. Just watch, type in Bryson 58 and it'll pop up. It's you get to see every swing. It is phenomenal. It's just an absolute display.
Yeah, 13 birdies, one bogey, and the putt that he makes, I take that back. He did make one long putt, and that was to shoot 58.
Yeah.
So, in a downpour, so to win going away, he was down by one. Matt Wolf was leading by one. Matt Wolf and Puge. I guess it is David Puge
Yeah.
leading by one, and Bryson ends up winning by five.
Well, usually you start the day and you think, man, if I could hit 72% of my greens in regulation, that'd be great. Well, Bryson birdied 72% of his holes.
I mean, that's bonkers, right? Just like, I'm just looking at it, and there I've had like stretches. I had a stretch in a few rounds, but I think, trying to think, the most birdies I've made this year in an 18-hole round, it's not 13.
Oh no, I like birdies are hard.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know this, but like statistically, the difference between like a 10, a 5, and a scratch handicap golfer,
It's
it's
not
not how many
birdies.
birdies.
It's not birdies.
It's not.
It's usually not
It's
birdies, or it's
we
less than one.
all those guys average like 3 or 4 birdies around.
Yep.
And but they're making no bogeys, right?
Yeah.
To get 4 birdies
Bogey
around,
to wins.
that's
Yeah.
solid.
Yeah.
And so now these tour players are jumping out. Oh, I made 8 birdies today. It's like, what the heck? And then Bryce's like, oh, I had 13.
13.
It's
It
just
did help
ridiculous.
his average, because they have statistics, but they don't have, like, say, great statistics. But he averaged 9 birdies around
Yeah.
for the 3 days. And then you have, like, in second, Matt Wolf and Carlos Ortiz ever had 19 birdies for this, so 6.33 per round.
Yeah.
But
But
yeah, crazy.
yeah, let me do the quick math. So that was a 44% increase in birdies. That's a huge jump to go from your 9 birdies around to 13. So even though he's making a lot, that is a big gap, 44%
Well,
extra.
yeah, because he's still averaging, because if he had 13 there, so he had 14 going into the final round. So he was still seven birdies around before that, right? Yeah, so he's going from seven birdies around
If it's
to
seven,
four,
he's bigger.
13.
Yeah, that's almost
It's
a
almost
50%.
double.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost double.
Man, statistically, that's just insane. Like, I've never even sniffed that. My best, like, casual round was 8 under, and my best competitive round was 7. And
Yeah,
Those include
that's
eagles. Like, that helped me get there. It wasn't birdies.
it wasn't see, and I've had a couple rounds this year, and it's not been to there, but I've had a couple where I've made seven, eight birdies.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not a big eagle guy. I just if I'm gonna get on a run, it's usually a lot of birdies.
Yeah.
So yeah. Don't know, doesn't matter where it is, and people say, oh, it's on a par 70. I'm like, well, yeah, he's got two less par fives that he can take advantage of with his length.
Yeah. Like, I don't care who you are. Go down to
58.
your local muni and shoot 13 under. Play
Yeah.
for Reds and shoot 13 under, and I'll buy you a drink.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care where it's at. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is there. Now we just need to go out and play and see if we need to play our local muni from the Reds and see if we can put together 13
Yeah,
birdies.
that is a best ball.
That's it. What I do. I've got a that would be funny. I show up tomorrow to her because we play a Tuesday money game. I'm like, boys, we're gonna try to match DeChambeau. We're playing from the Reds today.
We're going for 13 under.
Under
And like, honestly, if you shoot 68, like, yeah, there you go. But get in the 50s.
I will say this. There may be some guys that shoot higher from the Reds because they just don't know how to handle
Oh,
it.
I am way better from a buck 30 than I am 70. I'll tell you that.
That's what I was doing. Like, I had a lesson today with one of my junior players, and basically the whole time was working from 40 to 80 yards.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, we went through one of her tournament scorecards, and I'm just like, if you were able to get it down in three from 100 yards and in, how many shots would that have saved you in this tournament? And I'm like, I went down, and it was a large amount.
Nope.
So it's important. I told her for the next little bit, I'm like, all you're doing is you're hitting drivers and 80 yards and in. That's it. I'm like, don't even pull out anything but when you're working on it, drivers and
Yeah.
80 yards and in.
It's so crucial. So
So,
crucial.
but shocker moment,
Or not shocker?
or not shocker moment, probably not shocker with where he was at, but kind of the whole season is a shocker. JT, Justin Thomas,
Mr. Thomas, Mr. JT, Mr.
Mr.
Dependable.
Bubble Boy. He was
Yeah.
his bubble popped.
It did.
His bubble popped and ended up 71, so out of the playoffs. So he might be done until beginning of the year playing tournament golf, unless he's going to play some. He's got to play some fall golf, right?
Maybe he'll get into like a live event or something. But
At
it ain't gonna be on the PGA Tour.
least not for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's gotta earn his way back into some position of authority, and it's gonna require every tournament.
Well, like I said, that's where I think he's going to have to play some fall events just because he doesn't have the luxury of now taking off
Yeah.
a couple months of no golf. And I'm sure, and these guys play it, they tend to play. I know that there's some like exhibition events, if I'm correct. Moving forward, there is one larger exhibition event that I don't know if he's going to play in either. Which, yeah, and kind of going back to that red tease, that was a suggestion of Bryson's, by the way, listeners.
Yes,
He did
but
say that the way for junior golfers to, when they're learning how to score, is to play the forward tees so that you get used to making birdies, shooting low scores. Oh, But yeah, going into the Ryder Cup now, this begs the question: do you pick JT? Because I think he is ranked ahead of a few people that I think I would choose over him, because the ratings are stupid, right? How is JT ahead of somebody like Tony Finau, who hasn't played like great this year, but has a win, right? Another crazy thing. So get this: Will Zalatoris is ahead of Tony Finau and hasn't played in months.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, that one's absolutely bonkers to me. So you've got your six qualifiers automatic, and it looks like Scottie Scheffler and now Wyndham Clark cannot lose their spot. Brooks has dropped down to fourth, and with the playoffs, because I think it ends, there's two more turnouts that they end up taking for that. So right now you have Scheffler and Clark are already qualified, and you have Brian Harman in three, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, and Patrick Cantlay are in the automatic qualifying spots right now. And after this, so they did a little thing on another one, but let's go the next couple. So let's go down to, we can take it to 15. And then, yeah, Tony's at 19, which is crazy.
That's
I don't
fine.
know. I don't know that he, but so at seven, you have Max Homa in or out, in your
In.
opinion? In. I agree. Cam
Yeah.
Young, eight. In.
Sure. I mean, considering the options, right?
Yeah. Jordan Spieth, in or out? He's at nine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jordan's got experience. I like it.
He's back there. So now where it gets a little bit more. So then now you got Keegan Bradley at 10.
Too streaky, no.
You say no. Okay. At 11, Colin Morikawa, in or out? I kind of agree with you with Keegan. I think he's had a couple. I mean, winning the Travelers was a huge bump
Yeah.
for him.
He's when he is pure. Like honestly, when I said this, I think he's one of the most athletic. When his game is on, nobody can beat him. But the reality is his game's not on all the time. So, that's the fear that I would have, and I'd place Morikawa over him just because Morikawa can hit a green from 190 yards in his sleep. So,
Although I would, you look at his stats, and yes, traditionally, yes, that. But so at 11, Colin Morikawa, in or out?
I
Because you've
say
got
in.
three more spots. Okay. So you're saying in. Okay. Now at 12, so that's 10. Yeah. We've got two more spots to fill. Sam Burns, in or out?
Out.
Out. Okay. Ricky Fowler, in or out?
And
Ooh, in.
bit
Okay,
better.
so you got one more spot. And I said I was going to 15. So at 14 is Justin Thomas. 15 is Denny McCarthy.
I don't
You
like
still, I don't like, well,
this.
Thomas has been, I just don't, he's not like, and
No.
it's not been like, oh, he's just in a little slump. No, he's been in a prolonged slump.
Yeah.
Okay, so now. So at 15, Denny McCarthy. So now we might have to go deeper. And you said out on McCarthy, right? And I kind of agree. So then you go to 16, Kurt Kitayama. Obviously, Zalatoris isn't playing. So now you get into the 18th spot, Harris English.
See, this is where I would do something bold to like bring the tours together, and I'd pull somebody from Live.
Who do you pull? Who do you pull?
So
Who do
I
you
probably
pull?
pull DJ because he has more wins than all these other guys.
But why doesn't Bryson get a look? He's
Hey,
actually been playing good.
after this week,
That's
he should.
that. Well, but he's had in his last little bit. So he's made the cut in the last three majors. He was T4 at,
Yeah.
was he T4 at in the Open Championship, right? Liverpool. Is that correct?
I'm gonna check. Fact check.
And then he was a top 20 in the US Open. And he did make the cut at the Masters, didn't he? Or did he not?
Him in the Masters, no es simpático, but
No, I think you're right. I think he did miss the cut there. But then he had another decent showing in the PGA
23.
Championship.
Yeah, he missed the cut of the Masters. He got tied for fourth at the PGA, tied for 20th at the US Open, tied for 60th at the British.
Okay.
I mean, three out of four cuts in majors, and he's on fire right now. Like, what a great
And
pick.
kind of figuring, but so if you do that, that bumps our guy, local guy, he now out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to play to get there, and he
Yeah.
has been the hottest, but there are other players that are doing really well, and big deal. So
I think that would be a bold pick because he is playing good, right? Because so then
yeah.
you have two live guys that are on the Ryder Cup. But my question is does Zach Johnson have the stones to pull the trigger on another live guy as a captain's pick?
If Zach Johnson
That,
sits in the political pool of I don't like the way the commissioner did this, he will definitely do it. But if he's on the commissioner's side, then he'll do everything he can to avoid that. It just depends on where he sits. I don't know where he sits.
well, wait, but the commissioner just struck a deal with him. So
I
wouldn't you
know.
think he would be more live friendly? Or is he
People
just
still upset at him. A lot of the players don't like him at all.
right?
So I think that's where they kind of give the hypothetical middle finger by making these Ryder Cup picks with live players, and deservedly so, with Brooks, but
Yeah,
why not?
I don't think anybody will jump. I don't think there's going to be two people that either have to be three people that jumped ahead to push Brooks out.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'd have to get three people to jump him. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
So you're going to get Brooks in there. And I mean, to be honest, DJ hasn't been playing very good.
he does lead the live tournament in or live tour in birdies per round
Yeah. So,
statistically. And
I
that's
mean, yeah.
right? You need a dude just not miss fairways and make
Make a
birdies.
birdie machine.
Yeah.
So, those would be the two, DJ and DeChambeau, I think, are the two you would pull from that group, right?
And I mean, yeah, absolutely. I would 100% pull those three because they are legit.
So then, if you take all three of them, who do you bump off? Colin
Just
Morikawa.
whoever. Yeah, probably Morikawa on the tail end because I would take a DJ or a Koepka or a DeChambeau over a Morikawa 100% because like they showed up.
Yeah.
So
So,
regardless of the tournaments they're in.
whew, it's gonna be fun. I mean, you got two more tournaments before everything's solidified for that. And then I think you got after the playoffs is when they need to make the decision on
Yeah.
there. I just don't know that Zach Johnson is a guy that would do that, though. I think he's not gonna even look at it.
Well, what about what country is Taylor Gooch from?
American. He's from America.
He's been winning. He's had been having a great year.
Yes.
He's won three times.
What has he finished in the majors? I think he's made the cut all three.
Let's see.
Well, the three that he's played in, because he didn't he not play in the US Open, or did he end up getting in the US Open?
Finding out. I am finding out.
And you look at this year, and it actually should be. And I know it's in Europe, but the US is, on paper, is a
Yeah.
is a dominant force
Not
on
so
that.
majors by Taylor. He didn't get in the US Open. And he
Yeah.
had tied for 34th in the Masters, and he got cut from the Open in the PGA.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that kind of puts him out just because those are big tournaments that he had a chance to show himself and didn't
Yeah.
quite make it. Yeah, it'll be interesting moving into there. But now let's get into the locals update. This has been kind of fun.
It has been.
Because we had seven guys playing in between the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry. We had seven Utah guys playing, and we did have one playing on the Canadian tour, David Timmons. But for the Wyndham Championship, Peter Quest, who has his special temporary status, made another cut, ended
What does
up
that even mean?
T45.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's some cryptic, it's something that the PGA Tour does.
It's
It's
like,
the
we
it's
like
it.
you, but we're not dating.
We're dating, we're not ready to get married yet.
Yeah, like what does it get? What gets him out of special temporary, right? Like, I understood Zach Johnson's place, where it's like, get enough points to be in the top 125 in this allotted time frame so that you can reclaim your card.
Yeah,
Awesome.
Zach Blair, you mean?
Yeah, Zach Blair.
Zach Blair. Who was the other one? He missed the cut. Yeah, because it's a weird thing, because if you go to right where he was T45, so it doesn't have him FedEx Cup rank.
Yeah.
So if you look at his stats, where does that, like his profile, where does his money put him, right? And it, because I don't know, because they don't give points because he doesn't have his PGA Tour card, right? So it doesn't give
Don't even say.
him points. So you have to go into like the money list, but the money list doesn't necessarily say it either. But with where he's at, I don't, and with where he's done, but my guess is his special temporary status gets him into some more fall events, right? So he has his fall events to make his push and to maybe get to where he would be in the top 125. Since he went to the calendar year instead of the rolling year, moving forward. So it gets him starts, but it doesn't get him his card. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those unsolved mysteries that the PGA Tour does, like they're how they go down the list in some of these tournaments and give guys exemptions into it. We have this algorithm, and we know it, but nobody else does, and they can't figure it out either.
It was like the PIP or whatever. How do you
Yeah.
get this?
Yeah, well, it's a combination of these things. But what is it weighted? It's a combination of these four
Yeah.
things. Oh, but the Utah Championship in our backyard.
Yeah.
This is where we had the majority of the Utah players.
A really good showing of
Really, really good showing. The best showing was by amateur, and I think is he a BYU sophomore? I
Yeah.
think so. BYU sophomore. Tyson Shelly ended up T12 with four rounds in the 60, shoots 65, 65, 68, 69.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, really solid and had a little wobbly stretch in the middle of the final round, or could ended up in the top 10. And I believe top 10 on the Corn Ferry moves you into the following week. So he didn't quite get there, but a
Yep.
really good showing for his first Corn Ferry event. But he's been on kind of a heater. He shot 62 and then won in a playoff of the Pacific Coast Amateur.
Yeah.
Not even playing on the team because it's a team event, but he was playing as an individual.
Yeah.
And ended up winning the whole shebanger. And then newly turned pro, or more recently turned pro, Carson Lundell, former BYU player, was T40. Former U of U player Mitch Scow also made the cut at T68. Had a little bit of a struggle in the final round, and another couple of, to round it out, you have three Cougs and a Ute that all missed the cut. Patrick Fishburne, who not a great shoots six
Oh.
under in the second round to miss the cut by one because he got it to
Yeah.
five under for the
Well,
tournament.
for a guy who's 15th in the points list on the Corn Ferry to miss the cut this week at a home course.
Coming off of a playoff loss
Yeah.
in there, and my guess is in that first round, he just was like, okay, this is my chance to get and just put that extra little bit of pressure on himself in the first round
Yeah.
to get it done because he had a good showing last year at this event. But he only dropped two spots, so he's still in the position to move to the tour next year. And then Zach Jones, junior.
Yeah.
Junior, going into, is he going into his senior year? He might. I can't remember where exactly he's fallen on that,
Current
but
BYU golfer.
current BYU golfer Zach Jones missed the cut, and former BYU Cougar Daniel Summerhayes
Yeah.
also missed the cut, and Blake Tomlinson, who got a sponsor's exemption into this tournament, former Ute and last year's Utah Open champion, Blake Tomlinson also missed the cut. But like I said, it was fun to follow all those guys out there. It was nice. I had the opportunity to be a starter on the 10th tee on Thursday for the first round, and got a tee off
Nice.
a couple of those guys, Mitch Scow and Blake Tomlinson. It's kind of funny because as you would, if you look at it, Scow should be Scow, right? If you look at it, but he gets his now name pronounced multiple different ways. And he walks up the tee and he's like, well, he's like, at least I know I'll have one guy get this right. My name, last name, right off of the first tee, and I was like, "Man, Mitch, you're putting a lot of pressure on me, bud." But
Yeah.
it was fun. It was fun to watch those guys and to follow them. So hopefully, we get more of this moving forward.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to have two, unless you get some guys, because there's a couple more Korn Ferry events, and my guess is Mitch will try to go Monday qualify for those, and possibly
Yeah.
Blake as well. But Blake does have some, he has status on the Canadian tour, so he may go up and maybe playing in those. But hopefully we get more leaderboards that we can follow our Utah guys, because it's kind of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Now for the equipment
Oh.
portion of the show.
All the fun stuff.
All the fun stuff. There was some crazy stuff, and we didn't even put it in here, but we're gonna throw it in too. Let's start off with, we'll just throw it right at the top of the list. Mr. Bryson DeChambeau.
Okay.
Threw in, threw in.
Homeboy is rocking a crank
Crane
driver.
driver.
Crank.
Like crank.
It's not, it's a brand you probably haven't heard of unless you follow Long Drive.
Long drive.
And look, they make drivers for people that swing hard.
Yeah.
And they're good at
He
it.
falls in that category.
Yeah. And he does. He was averaging, I don't know if he was averaging, but he definitely posted several swings over 190 ball speed. So it wasn't like long drive status by any means, but he's going after it. And you need certain characteristics to hit good drives when you're swinging that hard. And he probably just found what he's looking for in a crank driver. I mean, he was on record for complaining about Cobra drivers not fitting what his needs were. And
Yeah,
yeah.
it was well publicized. And then, he moved off, was playing the Stealth, was playing the G, being G430 for a little bit, and switched over to the crank, and he basically said he hits it straight, which
Hey, poop on a stick that goes 330 down the middle every time.
exactly.
Gonna
And
play
they're
it.
kind of des I mean, they're obviously designed for higher swing speed, higher ball speed, right? But they also have to be somewhat forgiving with as hard as
Yeah.
those guys are swinging. So,
Exactly. They're low lofted, high MOI. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
he's
know what model he was playing, but
it
they got
was, oh, I had it pulled up. It's the stump, the crank formula. Fire LD, I think is what it was.
Oh, okay. Let me pull that one up. I'm on their website. So they all look very similar, but I think aesthetically, yeah, I'd have to go
Yeah,
into the detail.
they're not the most aesthetically pleasing. They're very angular.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they look like a trapezoid on cocaine, but
The crank formula fire LD. 6 degrees of loft
I don't care.
with a Project X hazardous T1100 shaft. That was the
Which,
same shaft he was playing
yeah.
in his Stealth 2.
And that's a beast of a shaft.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, makes sense, but it goes, well, it's going straight. And he's actually been playing pretty good, right? You look at his major finishes. Augusta does not like him.
Oh.
Right, he has bad juju for his comments early on there, but the top five finish at the PGA, a top 20 at the US Open. And let's be honest, there's some guys that just aren't made to play links golf. And he's one of them that I think will struggle in links golf
Yeah.
as is. So
I agree with that.
in general, right? He made the cut, but it wasn't a high finish. So, but yeah, he's pulling the crank, and
I think it's safe to
it's
say
worked. It worked.
he was the first long drive specific driver to win a major event.
Yes. And some will argue with this that the LIV is not, but you're playing against high level players.
If you can win $4 million in a tournament, that's pretty
It's pretty high
incredible.
level. For sure.
Yeah, another equipment change in the Wyndham. Webb Simpson, notorious for playing blades, actually was playing the T100s. So that's a pretty cool change. I mean, this is a guy who played the 680 blades for like years and then
Yeah.
Titleist made him the 682 WS irons.
Right.
And so he had a set made specifically for him. And then, now he's got these T100s as a trial.
So the
So,
trial, it worked out though.
yeah.
Ended up T5, shoots a 63 in the final round.
Well, and here's the reality. Like, people will say, oh, he's winning, he's playing cavity back irons. Everybody is playing a blended set these days. And where I'm going at is you've got a 60, a 56, and a 52, and possibly a 48 degree that are all blades. They're wedges.
Yeah.
They're not playing cavity back wedges. They're playing wedge wedges, which are notorious for being unforgiving because you want a very consistent
flat
on those things, right? So every PGA Tour player is the bottom three or four clubs are all blades, no matter what iron set they play. And those are their scoring clubs, which makes sense. This is like 125 and in for all of them.
Yeah.
And so after that, like, it doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah, they're just
blades anyways.
Well, so, yeah. And like I said, he switched it up and it worked for him, right? Yeah. He goes into there and still is not, right? He didn't finish high enough. He would have probably have had to have won to make the playoffs. Like Lucas Glover. Lucas Glover jumps from 112 to the 49.
Yeah, that was good.
Big jump. But yeah, just trying something different. And the guy who decided to try something different, who's been playing around a lot over the last couple of months, is one Adam Scott.
Yeah.
But he decided to switch for the final round.
I know. Well, he showed up with different irons, and we're all familiar with the Adam Scott irons that were made by Miura.
Yep.
And those are blades. Those were very pure blades, kind of like the MB101s, but branded for him. Then this week, in the first two rounds, he was playing
first three rounds.
Three rounds. The Titleist 20 CBs. And I think Jonathan Wall put it best from Golf Magazine. He's like, the 620 CBs right now are like the Odyssey jail.
Yes.
Like, once people see
they're like, everybody's winning with these? I'm going to try it.
And maybe that was the case, maybe it wasn't. But I know that there was a conversation that was had between Adam and those that had won with the 620 MB or CBs. And he threw him in the bag. Like, I love the tenacity there. But then by Friday or Sunday, he had some Miura KM 700s in the bag.
Yeah. Yes. Except for the 4 and 5, he kept the CBs. And then it was just the 4 5 were the 620 CBs. And then the 6 through the 9 iron were the Miura KM 700s, and then he went into his wedges.
And
but, yeah,
he played great on Friday or Sunday.
Sunday,
like, 63, ton of birdies, and
it almost got it. Almost pulled off magic and bumped him into the playoffs, but he fell 2 spots out at 72.
Yeah, oh, pretty rough. Pretty rough.
But, so on this, this next piece of equipment is all you.
So the KM92, a Mizuno story, as I've labeled it. So Keith Mitchell, a Mizuno player, has been getting some custom work on his the current release, like the 221s.
Mm-hmm.
And he has those blades, but the bottoms, they look like they've been worn down pretty aggressively. And essentially, he grew up playing the MP29s and MP14s as a kid, which don't have that much bounce, but they have wider soles. And when you have wider soles and a little bit sharper leading edge, what happens is you're kind of fast in, fast out.
Right.
You can get into the ground, but then that extra effective bounce coming from a wider sole just pushes you straight out again.
Yep.
And that's a very familiar feel for him. And so he was able to customize the soles of his irons to that particular soul that he liked from the past. And that's what he's got in the bag. And so they stamped him the KM92 irons, the Keith Mitchell 92s. And I don't know what the 92 is in reference to. Maybe it's the year he was born, or maybe it's the years that the 14s and 29s came out, but
did the 14s and did the 14s and the 29s come out in the same year though? I don't know either.
I'm making some speculative stuff here.
So
here,
did you do some quick Google search?
Yep, the MP29s came out in 1992. Oh my gosh, I'm good.
Years like validated. when did the 14s come out? So is he basing it more off the 29s than the 14s then?
I think, yeah, more so the 29s.
So that makes sense, right? It's his version of the 29.
Yeah, I think MP14s.
I say the 14s were.
I know they were in golf shops by 1996 for sure.
So, let's see. No, 92.
They came out 92 as well?
Yeah.
There you have it, folks.
So that is right on the button. This is why Weston is who Weston is.
Oh,
a geez. Wealth of golf club knowledge.
Yep.
Even when he doesn't know it, he knows it.
Well, oh, wait a second. Hold the phone.
What?
MP29 is 1992. MP14 is 1994.
1994?
Yeah. I went to the Mizuno
timeline.
Timeline. So.
So did they release one earlier? I swear it.
29. Oh, so that was the one that he showed in the video. So.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, 1994. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then there was a missed PGA value guides, not reliable, obviously.
I trust them. Trust Mizuno.
Mizuno. You would hope. You would hope, right?
Yeah, go to his Instagram page. He's actually got video clips of each one of these irons and what they're resembling. Really, really cool. I even shared it on my stories just because that's like what I live for. So, yeah, pretty fun that they get those opportunities to change things. And man, guys, bounce is important. If you
Very.
Playing the wrong kind of bounce for your conditions, you can have a really hard time. I mostly see that type of misutilization in wedges. Like, oh, I'm from Texas and I'm playing a high bounce wedge. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're dead in the water. And so you got to pay attention to those little specs and what's there.
Yeah.
And depending on your swing.
Know your swing, right?
Because
for me, I don't take a huge divot, so I could get away with a fairly thin sole.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't. I like a thin sole, but with a lot of bounce.
Yeah.
That's like my bread and butter. But you get me a sharp sole with low bounce, take out beef pelts.
So, you're gonna stick it in the ground.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of pre-worn leading edge. And I happen to have decently wide soles on my irons right now. But yeah, it's working out.
But on your wedges, I think you can get it with that, especially with wedges and softer turf. You'd like to, something with a little,
yeah,
little wider sole, especially since it tends to be a little softer here in the Utah. The greenskeepers don't like it firm and tight.
they like the green grass in the summer, so that means
small conditions. Yes. So let's move into Lucas Glover's. What's in the bag?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about his putter, but we'll go to the rest of it now.
Yeah, we'll dive into all of it. I mean, right off the start, driver Srixon Z785. 9.5 degrees with the Ventus Blue 7X. Good driver.
Which it's actually the older.
The older one. Oh-ho.
It's not even like last year's.
Yeah, it's the older one.
It's older because now they're right. You got the ZX set, right? The 785 is 4 years ago,
Yeah,
I want to say.
hey, it's working. It is working. And then the three wood, the Ping G430 Max at 15 degrees with the Fujikura Ventus Black 8X.
Yeah,
So that's
and
pretty interesting to see the transition between the two. He goes blue in the driver, and then he's
then
got
black. Black and the 3 and 5 wood both G430s, which I can say I do. The G430 has made a serious improvement
Yeah.
on the past couple of iterations of the Ping Fairway woods.
Yeah. So I think what I'm seeing here is a driver that doesn't spin much, or at least launches lower.
It doesn't spin much from my experience. It is definitely a lower spin driver for sure.
Yeah. And then we've got three woods that do spin more.
That's they spin a little bit more,
Yeah, we've got the black shafts to offset that and
but
maybe launch a little lower.
he goes like it's got to be specially made. They only have a few of these in the thing, but a 10x in a wood shaft.
Yeah, I haven't seen this available for at least the past decade.
Yeah,
10X meaning that is a 100 gram fairway wood shaft, or at
and so
least.
they yeah and so they make it in their high because they have the Ventus hybrids that they come in a 10x, so they have the ability to do it, but it's not it's not something that a lot of people request, I'm sure.
Oh no, it's definitely a feel thing, but I mean, oh man, he's definitely going after it if he's rocking those shafts. And then in the iron lineup, he in his four iron, he's got the Srixon ZX5 Mark II, and then in the irons, the Srixon ZX7 Mark II and five.
Yeah.
So the most recent irons from the
Yep.
Srixon lineup, and great to see a very forgiving long iron, and then the the ZX7s, those are just solid. So
Yeah. Really good. Plays the dynamic gold tour issue X100 and then goes into his wedges with the tour issues S400, which is common theme. We've
yeah.
noted that. That's been a common theme through a lot of our what winners, what's in the bag. But he has the RTX Zipcore Tour Rack, which is basically raw. In 52, 56, and 60. My guesses are all, I don't know. Does it show pictures of them? Are they all the mid bounce? My guesses are mid bounce with custom
Yeah.
grinds on them, is my
There's
guess.
not he does have a mid bounce in the 60. I don't see any other images of the 56 and 52, but I would
Tell
I
you
get
what, off WRX is slacking on some of their pictures
they
as of late.
make you sift through all the forum pictures to find them.
Find them.
But
They just want more clicks on their page. But
right. All those ads, they gotta pay off.
but are they getting paid by the PGA Tour because they're a partner? I don't know.
Oof.
But yeah, my guess is if he's got it in the mid in there. My guess he's just got mid
Yeah.
through the bag in his wedges.
Which
And
is
then,
a great play.
yeah, because then you just get them ground the way you want. They're actually pretty versatile mid grind wedge.
Yeah.
But yeah, then the putter, the Lab Mez 1 Max broomstick that we
Yep.
talked about earlier. Still not the like you said about Bryson's driver, it's not the best looking thing out there, but it's working for him and it's allowing him to play better golf,
Yeah.
which is what you're looking for sure.
Yeah, it's probably the best looking lab putter out there. Their first iteration, the flying saucer.
Oh yeah, it's definitely better than
Yeah.
their previous.
So they figured out the geometry and they're able to put in a lot more compact and alignment centric design. And so, yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome. It really helped him out. In fact, once he put that putter in the bag, he's had four top six finishes in his last five events. So that's pretty impressive. Four out of five events, he's in the top six. Since
Right.
he's that was a pretty dramatic impact to have a putter do that. Granted, it's not just that it's the lab putter, but it's also a broom. You know, I call it that, long putter. But it's a longer putter that he is able to use as a pendulum.
Right.
Yeah, so and that brings me to my question for you. To broom or not to broom?
No, I could never do it.
Yeah.
It never, like I tried it on a couple of occasions, just messing around, and I like legitimately tried it, right? I had the hot dog on a stick,
Yep.
the ping putter, right?
Help me. Here's
I
my
just
tip.
could never, I just could never, like, I was never comfortable with my hands separated, I think is what it is.
Yeah. My take is this. I think it's fantastic that people have found something to help them enjoy the game. And I think that's great for golfers of all skill levels. But for pros, I don't think so. And this is where people might be upset at me. I don't feel like they should allow brooms and arm lock putters in the PGA Tour. That is my personal opinion. I think these type of putters are starting to pop up more frequently and are having an impact. DeChambeau with an arm lock putter just shot 58. And then, you know, Lucas just wins by switching to this putter after just a month, right? And you got to think to yourself, is this because his skill got better or because this equipment is allowing him to do something that he wasn't able to do before? I don't know. Very controversial, but I don't think the long putters should be allowed in any capacity. I've always felt like arm lock is anchoring, but it's just anchoring on your arms. And the long putter, they say the putter's not anchoring next to the body, but their forearm is pressed against their chest or whatnot. And so to me, it's a real gray area, and I don't like
Yeah, I don't know.
that.
To me, I'm on the opposite side of that argument. Because you can do a lot of other things. I just, if it was like somebody like me, if you gave me the broomstick, there would be, I would get worse.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to stay more traditional. Right? So there's that, there's the arm lock, there's the belly. I don't know. I'm okay with all of it. Right. And if you're gonna, like I said, it's just this, it's the same argument that I have with if you're trying to roll back the ball.
Yeah.
For me, if you're going to do that, I think you I think you would have need to put the it back in the box earlier, right? You can't let it get to there and all of a sudden. And I think one of the reasons that the USGA did it, to be honest with you, was they had guys win USGA tournaments, notably Webb Simpson. And who else won it with the long one? or the belly.
Oh,
I
I
think
don't
it's
know.
somebody else won the USGA,
I
but
remember
Webb
that.
Simpson won the US Open with an anchored putter. And I don't know. I couldn't even do the belly putter
Yeah,
wasn't
it was.
my thing either. So that's where I don't think it's that big of an advantage, because if I go to it makes me worse.
Yeah,
So
it's just it's something that helps some golfers out, something that doesn't help others. So I mean, options are there. It's not like half and half or long putters, and but I would venture to say that as we get more sophisticated and we look at statistics and what we find out, I think we'll start to see more broom putters every year. It's going to continue to increase and increase and increase. That sounds crazy, but that's my prediction.
The bold prediction, Con.
It's a bold prediction. And here's why. Statistically, like when Bernhard Langer has done what he's done on the Champions Tour, and he also recorded flat out the best putting average ever than anybody in the history of the PGA Tour. And he did it with a long two ball putter.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm fine with it. If you're gonna do that, I mean, where do you stop that? Then you got all these putters that supposedly their MOI is there, right? And they're more stable. And then you got shafts that help that stability to keep it, which is what you're trying to do, is right with that, is you're just it's a more stable stroke for you. Right. So then you've got all these other ones. So do you start making the stability shaft, putter shafts
I
illegal?
don't think it's that far. I just think you say putters can be no longer than your shortest club, your lob wedge. That's
Takes,
That's my
yeah.
That's me. It's controversial, I know, but that's
It is
where I'm standing.
controversial. It's your take. It's wrong, but it's your take. No. Yeah, like I said, it's there. I don't think it made the banning of the anchor to the body. Didn't make that, because they just found ways around it, right? They went to the arm lock, which there, or to me, it may make his stroke more stable, but it's not necessarily, it's well, it's not supposed to be anchored. You there's there's debate whether Bernhard anchors his or not. But to me, that makes it even harder to putt with a long broomstick handle, because you can't anchor it. So I don't know. I don't know. So I'm not the one making that decision. Unfortunately, there's dumber people than me making that decision sometimes.
Indeed.
Was that me just taking a shot of the USGA?
Yeah, you
Yeah, it
punched
was.
him right in between the eyes.
But no. But I think that's it for
Yes.
this week. Everybody, thanks for listening. Give us a rating review. We would appreciate it. And until next time, we're out.